Now, today we're back in Luke chapter 16 this time, and Jesus is going to tell us another story, another parable. And this time, the previous parables were about something was lost and precious, and an all-out search went on, and what was sought after was found. And now we're kind of switching gears to talk about, really, Jesus is encouraging his disciples to be ones who are really making plans for the future. Making plans for the future. And you know, a lot of people should and do make plans for their future financially and so on. And they make plans for that. Businesses make, they forecast and try to make plans for their future. And Jesus is encouraging his disciples to do something similar, however, with a longer-term benefit, if you will, okay, not just the time here on earth. So let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into the scriptures, and then we'll see what he has to say to us about looking to the future and planning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I thank you so much that we can trust it. It is the word of God, and it is food for our soul. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, feed us today and help us to hear what your word says. Give us, as the Bible says, it uses this phrase, give us ears to hear, Lord. Give us a heart posture that is one that wants to receive and to obey. And so, Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're talking about being faithful with what God has given you. That's what the gist of this is, and it's our tradition when we read the Word of God, the passage we're on, that we stand. So if you're able to, would you mind standing for the reading of the Word of God? I'll read here. It's Luke 16, verses 1 to 13. Now he said to the disciples, there was a rich man who received an accusation that his manager was squandering his possessions. So he called the manager in and asked, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you can no longer be my manager. The manager said to himself, what will I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I'm removed from management, people will welcome me into their homes. So he summoned each one of the master's debtors. How much do you owe my master? He asked the first one. 100 measures of olive oil, he said. Take your invoice, he told him. Sit down quickly and write 50. Next he asked another, how much do you owe? 100 measures of wheat, he said. Take your invoice, he told him, and write 80. The master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light in dealing with their own people. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of worldly wealth, so that when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. So if you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will entrust you with what is genuine? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? And no servant can serve two masters, since either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord. Please have a seat. So a very interesting parable, isn't it? A very interesting story here. Basically, I'm just going to break this down into two parts, really. The first part is just talking about the parable itself. And then there are three principles that we get after the parable there. And so we'll look at those. So, but first, the parable there in those first eight verses. Now, The gist of this is that in the story, right, you've got this manager. He's manager over someone else's wealth and businesses probably too. is that this manager has been dishonest somehow. And so what happens is, of course, the owner of everything comes and says, you know, I know that you've been dishonest, so, you know, you're going to be fired, basically. And so then we'll start turning, so to speak, in the manager who's been dishonest, and he starts thinking about, well, I got to think about my immediate future here. You know, I'm losing my job. Where am I going to live? Where am I, you know, what's my means of income and all of this? So he figures if he can go to the people that owe his, the owner's money and cut their debt, you know, reduce it, then they're going to think favorably upon him so that when he's let go, then maybe they might even give him a place to stay. Who knows? Maybe even offer him a job somewhere. So he's thinking ahead. He's making plans. He's being shrewd about it, right? So, and that is what, when Jesus, you know, comments on this, this is what he's being praised for. He's not being praised for being dishonest. He's being praised because he was shrewd. He was thinking ahead, and he took action based on that. It's his shrewdness, his forethought that is being praised, but not the dishonesty. This is where a lot of people get hung up on. Well, it seems like he's being praised because he's, you know, why are we praising a guy who's like a bad example, right? And it's not that part that's being praised, but he's, because Jesus, you know, he's basically saying there that as we go back and look at it, he's really saying, listen, the people of this world are shrewd with the things of this world. He's like, the people of light, God's people, need to be shrewd too. They need to be thinking ahead. They need to give forethought and strategize on how they can use what God has given them for kingdom purposes, for a future that's certain, right? Things that are eternal. And this is really what it's about. He's saying, well, he's not saying be dishonest, you know. He's not saying, you know, try to swindle people so you can get what you can get, so you can get ahead. No, he's saying that what you need to do, as what we need to do as believers, is we need to use the things that God has given us so that we can plan for our future, right, an eternal future. And so this is where he's taking us. Now, it's interesting, though, again, just Jesus is saying, listen, it shouldn't just be the crooks of this world who get creative and make plans. It should, you know, he's saying, you know, you guys should be creative too for kingdom purposes. You may remember there's a verse in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, where, and in fact, I'll just read it for you, Matthew 16, 16 here. So Matthew 16, 16. Well, that's not it. It's the verse that says, I'm sending you out amongst wolves, and you should be as shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. So I wrote down the wrong reference, but it's the being shrewd as serpents but innocent as doves. In other words, you know, serpents are cunning, right? They're shrewd. And so along those same lines, but he's saying, I don't want you to be like a snake in a bad way. Like, I want you to be innocent, but be shrewd in how we conduct our lives here on earth for the kingdom ends, right? Not so you can get rich or whatever, not so you can, because what we're talking about is eternity and living in light of eternity. And Jesus wants us to be shrewd about how we're living now in light of that, okay? So let's get into some of these principles here. One of the first principles that's mentioned here is just having an eternal mindset regarding your possessions. having an eternal mindset regarding your possessions. In verse 8 there, he says, the master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly, right? For the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light in dealing with their own people. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of worldly wealth, so that when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. And I think, you know, an aspect of this is having an eternal mindset regarding your possessions and money is, you know, God's given you the things that you have and the money that you have, and he wants you to bless people with it. He wants you to use that worldly wealth, if you will, to use it to have a kingdom impact, right? So that people will come to know him. And it's not this sort of like and you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. It's not in sort of a bait and switch kind of thing. Like, I'm going to do this for you if you'll become a believer. No, that's not it. It's just that, you know, out of having a love for people made in the image of God, you want to, you know, help them if you're able to help them. If God's put somebody in your path, and I know some of you have done this, where you've been a lifeline for people, and so you're able to impact them for the kingdom of God because you were able to meet some kind of material need that they had or bless them in some way. And so but all that requires that we have like a mindset on kingdom business, right? Like the why we're here, right? The reason I think that why we're not immediately translated up into heaven when we become believers is because we got work to do, right? We know that we're created in Christ Jesus. It says for good works in Ephesians 2. It says so. We do those good works in Christ's name, right? In hopes that it will have a kingdom impact. And that's the thing. And you know, the thing is that it may be nothing. Like, okay, so I don't normally do this, and I'm not blowing my own horn, okay? But I just thought this was an example, and I wasn't even thinking about the message when it happened. But when I was at the airport coming back yesterday, there was a pilot next to me in line at the Starbucks, okay? And so we were chatting, and I was like, well, where are you going? You know, he says, going out to San Diego. And I was like, well, that'd be awesome, San Diego, right? And I said, I'm going back to Ohio where it's nice and 95 or something, you know? And so I just said, so when I got up there, I was like, hey, I'm just going to buy him a coffee, you know? Just a blessing, you know? He's not my pilot as far as I knew. So I wasn't trying to, like, you know, just want to make extra sure you're awake, you know. No sleeping at the helm, you know. And just, you know, so I'll never see the guy again, you know. But, and he doesn't know who I was or what I was doing, and I wasn't trying to get anything out of it. But it was just an opportunity. And I don't do that very often. I don't, like, I've had people do that to me. I've had them buy me a coffee in a line, in a car line, you know, and I don't know who they were, you know, but I'm going to say that's a simple example, but, and there's no relationship in those examples either, but I think that God wants us to just think about our lives in that, are we investing in the things that are going to last? And let me tell you what, the souls of men and women, those are going to last. And so what we have to do is think about, you know, another way that you could use what God has given you to bless other people is simply have them into your home. Have them into your home, right? Your neighbors. Love your neighbor, right? Just have a meal. I can't think of a better way to bless somebody and say, hey, we'd like to get to know our neighbors better. Would love for you to have a meal. Or if that's a little bit too much, you know, some people are like, how about a coffee and a donut or something? You don't know what they like, but, you know, you find that out and just make it a little low commitment or something, you know? So I think just we have to have the mindset of, you know, this is why we're here. You know, this is God wants us. He has you around the people. Acts, I believe it's chapter 17, says where you live and the time that you're born and everything has been determined by God. And there are people around you that God is working in their life, and he has you there so that you might be the hands and feet of Jesus to them. And as a result, who knows? Maybe if they don't know Christ as Savior, maybe they'll see you and they get to know you and you get a chance to share with them over time about the God you know. And who knows, maybe they'll come to faith in Jesus and they'll be welcoming you into heaven. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'll be amazing. So it's just really, and this is challenging, isn't it? To have in a moment like this, it's easy to say, yeah, I want to have an eternal mindset. But, you know, man, we go out, we got to work, we got bills to pay, we got kids to raise, we got parents to help, whatever it is. And then that's all swirling around. And we really need God's help to kind of stay on that mentality, don't we? And we just need, you know, that's why we go through the scriptures, right? We preach books of the Bible, which is like, you know, because then we get regular reminders of things like this. And I like preaching through things because then you can't skip over the things you don't like. Or the things that are hard. Should I say that? Probably that's a better way to say it. Like, I like it all. It's just like some of it's hard. But may God help us have this eternal mindset. I thought of some scriptures here that remind us of that. So I want to share some others that relate to this. In Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bible or if you have an app you want to use, you can follow along there. It's Colossians chapter 3. Let's hope I got this one right. Yes, exactly. All right, Colossians 3, it's starting in verse 1. So Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ," okay, stop. So if you're a believer, your identity, and we use this word, your position is in Christ. Your identity comes from him. By the way, we could go a long time on that because we need to get our identity from Jesus, okay? God made us, okay? He tells us who we are, right? It's not who you say you are up here. It's who he says you are. But we are, as it says here, Christians have been raised with Christ. And, of course, an allusion to the resurrection here, right? Christ was raised from the dead, and we've been raised to new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about having new life. I know some people get bad vibes from this phrase, but born again. But Jesus said you must be born again. Becoming a Christian, being saved, born again, it all means the same thing, okay? Born from above, but you got to be spiritually born, right? So if that's you, then he says, you've been raised with Christ. He says, if then you have, and you have, okay, Christian, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, the heavenly things. Seek the things that are going to last, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Now, you know, sometimes people think that when they read this, they think, oh, if my mind's up there in the clouds, I'm going to be no earthly good. No, that's not how it works, right? You got your mind in heaven, you're going to be doing things for God here on earth, okay? There will be action, there will be impact as you live out your faith, okay? It's not just my mind's up here, it's not all about, I just can't wait till I see Jesus, which that would be is a great mentality, but no, we are practically called to live a Christ-like life here and have an impact, right? So he says, set your minds on things above. That's something that we have to do. That's a command. Set your mind. And I can't think of a better way to set your mind daily than to spend time with God daily in his word. Just some kind of regular time in the word of God, because it's like setting the compass due north, kind of getting your bearings, right? And to be reminded My life is to be about God in his business. Right? I'm not talking about just me. Like, I'm not talking about the vocation of pastor. I mean believers. Right? And we are reminded of that when we come to the scriptures. Right? We get, in a sense, I mean, God's with us all day long, don't get me wrong, but to spend some concentrated time with God will help us set our minds on things above. Okay? So he says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. Well, why? He says, verse 3, because you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He's just simply saying, set your mind there with Christ, right? Because he says, because you have died to yourself and you're living for God. Right, you have a new orientation now in life, and that is Christ is at the center, and he's now calling the shots. Right. So again, we're talking about having this heavenly mindset, an eternal mindset, right? So that the things that we, you know, companies do this all the time, right? They have long-term goals. They have some big, hairy, audacious goals, however you want to say it, right? Well, everything they're supposed to be doing between now and whatever time frame that is supposed to get you to that goal, right? Well, now, of course, it's not like we're earning heaven here, but if our end goal is, you know, is we're gonna be in heaven with God, then we need to be heavenly minded and to value and live for the things that God says matter, that have eternal impact. So one other verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, I chose this verse because, you know what? Living the way that we're talking about is challenging. It's difficult. There's every ad you see is trying to get you to think about the now and not the then. Okay, right? But it becomes hard and difficult along the way when you're living for Jesus. It says in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And here's the mentality that I'm talking about. Verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us, this is a future statement here, an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You see that? Paul's just laying it out there. He's like, all the difficulties and the things that we go through here in this life on earth, the trials, the tribulations, and sometimes you'll be doing things in the name of Jesus, and it's going to come back on you because somebody in the world doesn't like it. I was speaking with a brother at this prayer time that we had up in Minneapolis, and he was talking about how he was in a company, and he was considering, I think he was being offered a promotion. And he's like, you know, this. If I take this promotion, it's going to go one of two ways. If I'm going to live out my faith, it's either people are going to hate me and say, how did a guy get to this position that has these views and these thoughts on life? Or God's just going to use it in an amazing way. So he was asking for prayer, for wisdom on what he ought to do. And so this is the thing. He's saying these things that we go through here are difficult, but even though the outward things are pressing upon us in this world and making it difficult sometimes to live for Christ, He's saying we can be renewed day by day. Spiritually, right, you and I can be refreshed in God. And again, I think we need that spiritual food input daily from the Word of God. We need, obviously, we have the Spirit of God, but we need to ask for His filling and to, for it to be yielded to Him. And so he's saying, though, his perspective was, all that's going on in my life now, this is light and it's momentary. Right? 80 years compared to infinity. 80 years, if by strength and by blessing. You know? So I just wanted to bring those to our attention just to kind of get us thinking about, Lord, help us to have this mentality. Because once you have this biblical mentality that this is temporary and heaven and life with God and doing His business there, that is our future, and that is much and doing the things now that impact that. And that means people. Impacting people for Christ. So, this is important here. Using earthly resources for heavenly purposes. I encourage you in your times with God, believers. Encourage you in your time with God. Ask God to show you somebody that you can bless. In this coming week, some way. It could be you pray for them. That's a blessing. Some of the pastors went out sharing their faith during the conference there, and they just started off just by offering to pray for people. Is there anything that's going on in your life that I could pray for you? And I could spend time talking about the results of that, but it was amazing. But anyway, so, you know, I don't know how God wants to use you and the people around you, but would you be open to praying that this week? Lord, would you use me to bless somebody and help me to know how you want me to bless them? Is it a prayer? Is it an invitation for tea or coffee or whatever? Or is it just like, I don't know. That's where you got to be open to God's leading, right? So just pray about that, would you, this week? And the second principle here is just to be faithful with what God has given you. And some of this has been stated in different ways here. But let me remind you of verses 10 to 12. It says, whoever is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. So if you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, so who will trust with what is genuine? He's making a connection. You're saying if you're faithful in the use of the resources God has given you for His kingdom purposes, he's like, that's a little thing. He says, you know, other spiritual things too, God will put you in charge of, if you will. He's going to give you opportunities, right? He wants to see, are you going to be faithful with this? And if you are faithful with this, I'll give you more to be faithful with. You know, think about it. If you've ever been over someone at work in terms of your position, you just even one person, right? If they're not faithful with the one simple task you gave them, are you going to give them bigger things? Probably not. At least not without some training and a discussion, right? And in spiritual things, you know, even more importantly, saying, listen, God's saying, I want you to be faithful. I want you to be shrewd. I want you to be creative with what I've given you for kingdom purposes. And as you're faithful in little, there'll be more for you to be faithful with. Now, that, by the way, that's not a promise of increased wealth, by the way. It's not to say that. You know, this is not a prosperity gospel, right? Now, he may choose, by the way, he may choose to bless you financially, okay? And, hey, the key there is to keep being a pipeline for God, okay? That's the thing, right? Having a lot of money or wealth, there's nothing wrong with that. The thing is you got to see, and you see in the scriptures, I think it's in James too, where there's a responsibility there, right, that comes with that as well. So then he goes on there in verse 12. It says, and if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, okay, well, in our story here that Jesus told, this wasn't his stuff, was it? It was someone else's. Well, guess what? None of your stuff is yours. Now, this is I don't say that in some sort of communistic way. I say that in terms of, like, ultimately God is the owner of everything, okay? And this is a really important thing to get down as a believer, is to realize everything God is, you know, everything you have, money, possessions, it is God's, and you are a steward of it, right? And I always, whenever I think of this concept, I think way back to a financial class that I took many years ago, Crown Ministries, and this was one of the verses. I confess, I don't have it memorized anymore. I had to have it memorized for the class. This was, we got God's word in our hearts here. But I am not forgotten the address of it. 1 Chronicles 29:11. 1 Chronicles 29:11-13 says, and this is David praying, by the way, King David. He says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. You hear that? All that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. And so you just see all through all that, and actually through that chapter, David just acknowledging. He even says in another place, you know, even our ability to produce wealth, like the work that we do, the ability that you have to work, and the mind that you have to do the work that you do, that earns you, it comes from God. Amen. And so, I've always said that, you know, once you have settled that in your mind, that truth, giving back to God through tithing or whatever it is, a free will offering, is a no-brainer. It's not a problem, because basically he's letting me keep X percentage and I'm giving back to him this. I mean, because it's 100% his. It's a mentality, a biblical mentality, right? Having eternal things in mind, investing in the things that will last. But it's important for us to recognize that it's God that is giving you the things that you have, and use them for his glory. Be a good steward of what he's given you, right? All right, and then the last thing here. Don't let money and possessions be your master. Don't let money and possessions be your master. Man, so I watch a lot of other pastors preach on YouTube. I'm interested in certain people that I follow and stuff. And invariably, though, I'll just see, and this is not like a pastor thing, but somewhere on the suggested things will be every now and then, you know, how to make $10,000 a week doing like 10 minutes of work or something. It's something ridiculous, right? And so I'm just like, you know, I can spot clickbait here, but what's the lure there? Wouldn't you like to make $10,000 a week? Why not? You know, so if your goal is to have a lot of money, then hey, yeah, I can see how that's very popular, right? But that's not my goal. And I don't think that should not be anyone's goal, ultimately. But to whatever, however the Lord has gifted you, positioned you, you know, use it for his glory, whatever that is, okay? But don't let just the dollar signs and the amount in the account be the driving force, right? Because we have here in verse 13, he says, no servant can have two masters, since either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Right? So he's just like, he's not saying money is evil. He's just saying it can't drive the train. Okay? God's got to be the engine that's driving your life, right? He needs to be the one, right? Not money. And I do understand the allure of that, right? I understand that, but But you know what's going to happen here, you know, is we need to see money as a tool. It's a tool. It's not to be our master, right? The Lord God himself is to be the one whom we serve. But it can be easy, though, the seeking after possessions and so on can become the focus of our lives. Okay? Treasures on earth are temporary. Right? They don't have any lasting return. So we need to make sure, again, everything here is fitting together with that whole thing of Jesus he's telling this story to his disciples. Although we'll see next week, the very first verse, he's like, and the Pharisees who were listening, who loved money, here's how they responded, okay? So, you know, and, you know, if you're here today and maybe it's not money, maybe it's there's some things that have kind of wrapped their hands around your heart metaphorically, and maybe God's saying, listen, give that over to me. Let me have the proper place and these things, let them be tools, but don't let them be the thing that's driving you, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's the love of money, we know, that is the root of all evil. Not money itself, not the possessions. These are things that we are to be stewards of. And so, Father, help us to be shrewd. Help us to be, because that's what was praised here, was the shrewdness and the forethought for this guy to think ahead so he could provide for himself. But you want us to give forethought to investing for eternity. So, Lord, help us to set our minds on things that are above. Help us to see ways that we could be a blessing to people around us, that we could be a testimony for you, and we might get a chance even, who knows, along the way with these people that we're around, if we have a relationship, we have an opportunity to talk to them about you and how you've blessed our lives, how you've changed us. And, Lord, but we want to be available to be a blessing to people. We want to be available to use our possessions and the finances that you've put in our charge, Lord, for eternal things. Help us to live with that end, God. And I know the challenge in this kind of a message is that each of us doesn't know what that means for us exactly. But God, I just pray that we would have humble hearts that saying, God, show me. Show me how I can be more faithful with what you've given me. Show me, remind me every day that I'm a steward. And if possessions have gotten their hands around my heart, God, I pray, any of us here, Lord, we just pray that we would renounce those things as not being God, that we want to serve you and use things for you. We ask it in Jesus' name.